America Weekend.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christina Staffo.
As everyone knows, Prince passed away back on April 21st, leaving a musical legacy that many say is second to none. Our arts contributor is one of them.
It's always great to chat with Mark Leonard. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ed. Good morning. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
It is great to have you on. When Prince passed away, the first person that came to mind was you, because I know from your posts on social media and just from knowing you now for several years, you are the biggest Prince fan I have ever come across. Tell me your reaction when you heard he passed away.
It was a shock. It's still somewhat raw. Maybe some people don't understand it. Prince has been a huge part of my life, the soundtrack to my life, as I say it. My first long-term girlfriend, our song was Purple Rain. My college radio show was called The Parade. It was introed by Christopher Tracy's Parade from the Parade album From Under the Cherry Moon. My wedding song was a Prince song. You are far from the only person, maybe one of the most talented people, Ed, but far from the only person who said, you were the first person I thought of, Mark. I received maybe 100 emails, texts. The very first thing I heard was from a private message from a friend asking me, is Prince dead? This is just upon waking up.
Okay, so you normally talk about film on our show, and everybody knows about Purple Rain.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to know about Prince to know about the movie Purple Rain.
Sure.
Tell us about his other films.
The filmography is somewhat vast, not as vast as his discography. His music, of course, is the first thing that everyone's been talking about, but his films, you got the film legacy. Purple Rain, of course, if I could just mention, was a huge hit. It won an Oscar. It made the equivalent of what would be about $200 million at the box office today in 1984. It won the Oscar for Best Original Song Score, and then he followed it up later on with some films that weren't quite as good, of course, but he was the director of all of them. He directed in 1986, 2 years after Purple Rain, a film called Under the Cherry Moon. Yeah, it took a lot of flack. It deserves some of the flack. It's not the greatest body of film work, but it introduced us to Kristen Thomas, who is later an Academy Award a nominee for The English Patient. And it's a beautiful black and white film shot in France. There are some interesting things about it, but he followed it up with Sign of the Times from 1987, which is considered now one of the greatest concert films ever made. You can seek it out. It's hard to find. It's one of those impossible to get DVDs now. I saw all of these back in the theaters, some of them multiple times when they came out. 1989, he did the soundtrack for Batman, which was a huge hit. He wasn't in it, but he also not only did the songs for it, did a bunch of music videos for it, entered into a relationship with the co-star, Kim Basinger, through that film.
Wow.
And then in 1990, his last film was Graffiti Bridge, which was a pseudo-sequel to Purple Rain. Kind of goofy, again, did not do well at the box office, panned by the critics. It was a weak narrative line, which was sort of just a collection of music videos, but some of them were darn good music videos.
So. And the fact that he was getting busy with Kim Basinger, you know what? I am in awe of this man even more.
Amazing.
You talk about his impact in the 80s. I'm almost positive this is your line. Tell me if it's not. Madonna, Michael Jackson, hand them each an instrument, they wouldn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, it is my line. Absolutely. This is a true musician. He was called a modern-day Mozart at times, something I really do agree with. He played multiple instruments. Nobody knows the exact count. Some people say it's 20-something. I like Madonna. I like Michael Jackson very, very much. They couldn't play an instrument. If you stuck it in their hands, they'd look at it and say, what is this? You know, he played the guitar. Eric Clapton said he was maybe the best guitar player I've ever seen. This is Eric Clapton saying this.
Different genres at the same time. He really hit on everything. And him passing is very interesting because you heard him on pop stations.
Right.
You heard classic rock stations giving him, you know, memorials and stuff like that. MTV broke their format. Slipknot, their lead singer, is giving him a tribute. So he really crossed all genres of
music. I've seen Bruce Springsteen sing the song to him, Purple Rain, at his concert just a few days ago. I've seen Jimmy Fallon almost break down in tears introducing a segment on Saturday Night Live. I saw James Corden do it on The Late Late Show. It's amazing. It's really, even to a big fan like me, the outpouring of grief and emotion from all the people passing tributes on to him, people who recognized his genius and really understood it. I know I'm not alone when I say I'm a huge Prince fan. It's great to see just how alone I'm not.
Being able to go back and listen to a lot of his music as it has been played all over the place since his passing, and some of the songs that kind of flew flew under the radar. Take Me With You. You Got the Look. Songs that brought a lot of different types of music in at the same time. You listen to a song like You Got the Look, I hear pop, I hear rock, I hear funk all at the same time. Yeah. Not many people were able to do that, even to this day.
And some people think that Purple Rain is the masterpiece. Purple Rain is the number one album. But Sign of the Times from 1987, which includes the hit single, You Got to Look.
That's right.
Most Prince fans know that's the album. That's the one. That's where he brought it all together.
You know what else was very interesting that came out with his passing about all the songs that he wrote that he didn't perform, like the Sinead O'Connor song, and I think Stevie Nicks had a song from it.
And he actually did perform some of those, but they became famous for those songs. The Sinead O'Connor is a perfect example. Nothing Compares to You. She made that song a huge number one hit in 1990. He actually did some recordings of it and used to do it in concert. Manic Monday from the Bangles is another huge one.
If you want to talk about Prince, there is no one better than our own Mark Leonard to do so with. As always, thank you, Mark, for taking time with us here on America Weekend.
Thank you for having me.
Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christina Stoffel.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. Bob was old and sick, so one morning when he was cold to the touch, his family called their private mortuary to take him away. But 6 hours later, Bob woke up in a refrigerated morgue. He was pretty upset, and he sued the mortuary for professional negligence, reasoning that a mortuary business should be able to tell if their clients are, in fact, dead. How did this case turn out? The final verdict after this.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Negligence requires a breach of duty owed and damages resulting from that breach. Since there were none, the mortuary was not liable for assuming Bob was dead. And that's the final verdict.
Think Green.
Harrison with you. Some time ago, we reported on a Mother Jones investigation that showed reports of climate change-related mass suicides of Arctic lemmings were, in fact, erroneous. But many species appear now in danger of extinction from global warming and rapid habitat loss. In fact, many Arctic species, from flowering plants to insects, even birds, are crippled by springtime arriving a full month earlier than just 10 years ago. An example, walruses used to haul out and rest on ice, yet walruses found so little ice last year that 40,000 of them went ashore on Russia's Arctic coast, where up to 4,000 died in walrus stampedes. While the image of that sounds kind of comedic, experts do worry that artificially land-based walruses will be stripping coastal waters of food ultimately.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.